Welcome to the Being Curious Show. I'm Brian Mariani, founder of No Shift Owned.
And I'm Kelly Wagner, publisher of Edge Magazine. Our show is about curiously connecting teachers and seekers on a wide range of topics in a safe space. Few topics will be off limits, and we have some amazing guests to share with you.
Our intention is that our conversations will spark your own curiosity to create a life that lights you up and inspires you to be kind, thoughtful, open-minded to yourself and others.
We are on AM 950, Sundays at 2 p.m. and all podcast platforms. So, Brian, what are you curious about today?
I'll tell you what, Kelly, I'm super curious today.
We have an awesome show.
Oh my gosh, the energy is really lively today. Are you feeling it?
Yeah, absolutely. We just cranked it up in studio. I'm super excited.
We're honored to have our guest today, Mary Newstrom, PhD. She is a shamanic practitioner. She does a lot of things, but let's just jump it off and start right into the question that people probably already have. So, Mary, what is a shamanic practitioner?
A shamanic practitioner. First of all, I want to thank you for having me on the show.
Woo-woo!
Yeah. And
thanks for coming.
Yeah, I'm excited. A shamanic practitioner is an individual that understands that we are all interconnected. We're connected with nature. We're connected with the elements, the moon, the stars. We're connected with the animals. And understands that we can go into different dimensions to glean information for healing, for insight, and really works to live in harmony and balance with our elements.
So how does someone curiously become a shamanic practitioner? Because that's what you just said, takes a long time and a lot of studies and engagements and curiosities and exploring to be able to get there. What started you on your journey?
What started me, and actually that's a couple different questions, what can help someone get there what started with me is the process that even as a child, I was interested in metaphysical, spiritual, multi-dimensions, paranormal. And as I moved into a young adult, I was attending the University of Minnesota in the 80s, and as I reflect back now, I understand I was going through a dark night of the soul. Of course, I didn't understand that at that point. And my spirit guide came to me in a dream, and his name's Zenith, and really laid out that I needed to work on myself before I could help others. But I've been working with my guide since the 80s and kept exploring different modalities. In the 80s, I got attuned to Reiki 1. In the 90s, really started diving deeper into tarot, and that's actually when I took my first shamanic journey. I also then held traditional jobs, corporate jobs, nonprofit, taught at a university, got my master's, got my PhD. Actually, as a celebration, I went to Peru to work with shamans as celebrating my PhD. That's when things really clicked for me. So it was a lifetime of studying, curiosity, diving deeper into different things, but really searching for what was going to click for me. And when I started working with the Shipibo shamans, that's when I realized that had been the spirituality I was looking for. One based in nature, but a very particular type of spirituality.
So go for it, Brian. Nope, we both, you can just tell the thought bubbles
it's
floating.
Right, like, yeah, we're going to ask the same question. Mary, so you casually expressed this experience where this higher being gentleman Zenith came into your dream.
Yeah.
And there was a little bit where you said, hey, I was kind of into the paranormal and some other things that, maybe not most people are doing in their early life. So just maybe come back to that moment in your life. Was that a scary experience at first, or were you really prepared for it? I'd maybe like give our audience an idea of, yeah, was that scary? Was that, did you anticipate it? What was that whole part of your life?
Well, it's like, was it a dream? Were you in class? Were you walking somewhere and Zenith like taps you on the shoulder? Because that getting that message and then having that clarity to know that and that openness and that communication with such a force coming into your to your field and then your soul and then you on the earth plane, how does that, how do you process that?
Well, it's interesting because a lot of this processing or for the questions you're asking, I have reflected back on that because I had the same questions of like, well, wow, that's interesting. What happened? What was going on, though, in the at that time period was, I think, a traditional, you know, typical type of struggle that maybe a college kid is going through. But I think what was different was I called on my spirit guide. So that's why, as I reflect back, I'm now labeling it a dark night of the soul. So I called on them and said, please help me. And I named my guide Gabriel. And I chuckled because my joke is I got Zenith in trouble. And that's why he had to come to me saying, please don't call me my boss's name. And it was a dream. And if anybody has had a dream that you know is a little bit different than a normal dream and you wake up and say, oh, that was real. By the way, that was it. I can tell you the dream, too, because we were waiting for an outside meditation workshop to start. And there was folding chairs on a lawn. And it was just he and I, and he actually was one row ahead of me, off to the side a little bit. And he turned around, and he said, my name is Zenith. And like I said, if anybody's had those dreams where you're like, this is different, that was different. When he said he turned around, I know exactly what he looks like, and he was like, my name is Zenith. And then he gave me my message. And we've been working together ever since. And obviously, in his honor, I've named my healing practice after him. My whole healing studio and training studio, Zenith High.
So in that moment, was it such a clear and real experience to you that you didn't necessarily have to question it? Or was there a period of time, even a couple weeks, where you were like,
never.
Well, yeah. So it really was just a, yeah.
Never. It was, and then I had a couple other dreams afterwards, but I never question it. And I think the thing to remember is that this wasn't just some person that was out partying and doing other things, and then all of a sudden this came in. I was really going deep with my spirituality. I was studying different dimensions. And looking at different aspects of spirituality and metaphysical. So I do not ever remember questioning, was it real or not? It was more like, wow, man, that was so real. It was more like that.
So Mary, in that moment, were you, you know, oftentimes in the dark, you know, night of the soul, you're asking a lot of questions. Were you asking a lot of questions? Were you trying to figure out what your purpose?
Yes.
You know, in your physical body and on Earth and
yes.
at this period, this lifetime?
Yes.
You were very much like in that process.
I was. I don't know if I was quite as deep as that, but I was struggling with what should I do? Where should I go? And that's why I start out by saying I think it was pretty typical college age stuff. What was different was my guides came to me, obviously. So maybe it was deeper. I just can't remember much more than that.
And so at that time, did you start an individual relationship with your with Zenith and maybe other spirit guides? Or did you start practicing it? Did you start talking to people about this experience? Did you start, you know, sharing some of the wisdom that you were gathering?
Or even how long was there a gap between having this dream, processing it, and then going to friends and family or peers or whomever and going, hey.
I started a relationship with Zenith at that time. And so he and I have been working together. I do not think I talked about it for a long time. So it was really in the 90s that I really started diving deeper into shamanism. I think at that time, maybe I shared more of the dream. So I think there was a whole gap of time. The other thing is I dabbled in taking classes in spirituality and metaphysical things, but it wasn't my main focus like it is now.
So was there about an 8 to 10 year gap?
Yes.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And did you just say, oh, I want to go take a class here and I want to take a class here and go have this experience and that experience?
It was. And then my primary teacher, she's passed on, but Louis Piper, and there's lots of stories because she's come back to visit me since she's passed on too. And so she was the one that introduced me to shamanism. She was more into Wicca. She's taught tarot. And you know, it kind of surprised me that I wasn't attracted to Wicca or paganism or more other nature-based spiritualities. But it was clear that my draw was supposed to be shamanism, and that's the bottom line.
So tell me how they play in the sandbox together.
You know what? I stay in my lane.
Okay. Go, Brian.
I want to ask you this question because I've noticed that a lot of practitioners kind of in your field have to deal with kind of family, friends, like environment, mm-hmm. social issues. Was that something that you dealt with? Did you feel like you were taking a totally different path than everybody else? Was there judgment? Did you lose friends, family? Or were you very accepted kind of in your most inner circles? Or did you have to then go create new ones?
I think because I've always been interested in this topic and field, that the people I surrounded myself are spiritual. I'm fortunate my brothers like ghost hunting and paranormal, so we have a connection that way. I think that the people that have surrounded me with that are my friends and family, they're not 100% sure what's happening, but that's okay. My parents, they were accepting because they saw there was a great need and people were very interested in coming to me and studying with me. So I think with my parents, when they saw, wow, Mary, you have all these students, you have all these clients, there must be something to this. Then they were more accepting of that because they saw that people accepted me.
And that you weren't just running around with your freak flag flying.
And I could pay my bills. I mean, the bottom line is parents,
right?
Everybody knows you want your kid to be happy and be able to pay their bills. And I could pay my bills. I'm just honest.
No. So that's such an important moment that I think we really want to highlight, you know, before we move to our first break, because so many people in our audience are really looking for, can I live out my gift and create a sustainable life? So could you hone in on that moment where you were like, I'm living out my purpose, I'm doing what I love, and I'm creating a sustainable life? Do you remember that moment where you were like, oh my gosh, I've got 5-10 students, my bills are paid, do you remember that moment?
Of course, and I'm living it right now. I remember it, and it continues.
You're like, it was last week.
Every day I wake up and I just say, I am so lucky. And it's obviously hard work, and I've put the pieces together. I've combined traditional education with non-traditional. I'm in a number of programs right now continuing to educate myself so I can continue bringing back new information, new knowledge, and go deeper with my information to my students. But yes, I remember that quite vividly.
And were you at, you know, you mentioned you worked in corporate, nonprofit. Was there like, do you remember a date where you were like, I no longer have to have those types of jobs. I'm now fully present and can just do the work that I love fully.
Yes. It's when I left my corporate job, I took the leap. And then I started working as a wellness coach for a nonprofit. And then quickly after that, it was clear that I didn't even need that to continue on with being successful, paying my bills.
I love that a nonprofit invested in a wellness coach. That just makes me feel so happy.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
It's beautiful.
Well, as we transition.
So how long have you been – Sorry, how long have you
Brian's
been
Brian's so
in
excited.
Sustainable business?
Oh.
Is it 10 years, 20 years, 30 years?
It's about 5 years. 5 years.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And like I said, I feel very fortunate.
Awesome.
Yeah, you're
back
very...
over to you, Kelly.
Absolutely. Okay, so we today are talking with Mary Newstrom, PhD, shamanic practitioner, zenithhigh.com. Next segment, we are going to jump into spirit flow and a transformational journey to Peru. We are on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, and we'll see you soon. And we are back. Welcome to the Being Curious Show with Kelly and Brian. Today we have Mary Newstrom, PhD, shamanic practitioner. And before the break, we were talking about some just yummy things. And so Mary left us with that she celebrated getting her PhD by going on a shamanic journey in Peru. Because, you know, that's what everybody does when they get their PhD, right, Mary? I mean, Come on, tell us about that. Go for it.
Well, what's interesting and funny about that is when I got done with my dissertation, and it had taken me a long time to write it. I'm not going to focus on that, but it took me a long time. And so when I left Peru, I was like, told my mom, I'm never writing anything again. That took so long. So I went, and it was transformational. It was a transformational trip, changed. I have so many stories. I'm not going to share them right now about the spirits that came to me, guidance. But what happened was I came back and I immediately thought, I have to write these stories down. And so when I came back and said, I'm going to take some writing classes. I'm going to write these down. I'm going to write a book, which I am in the process of doing that. My mom was like, well, what happened in Peru? And at that point, I wasn't ready to share with her. But so I have gone back to the same shamans for about 7-8 years. And every year has been transformational, and after going maybe about 2-3 times, I got a clear message from my guides that I needed to come back to the Midwest and start a healing practice.
So you're out in the jungle, you're in Peru, and your guides are telling you that you need to bring a healing practice back to Minneapolis.
Yes, and my first reaction was no. I'm like, I don't see the need, because I don't know about you, but I see a lot of healers surrounding me. And so I said, I don't see what I would add to this picture. I don't see where I would add anything. So tell me where I could add something. It was more like, well, I'll do it, but tell me the bigger picture. And the response was, you will hold cacao ceremonies.
And for people that don't know what is cacao?
Cacao is pure chocolate, so it's the number one ingredient they use to make our chocolate bars. But then nothing else is added when you're in ceremony. Maybe a little bit of agave or raw honey. But the Aztecs and Mayans have used it for many years, thousands of years, for ceremony to open up the heart chakra. And it's interesting, when I have the ceremonies, I talk to the participants about the fact, of course, we give chocolate on Valentine's Day. We realize that it does that, but we don't talk about it in that way. So a cacao ceremony opens up the heart chakra. It opens up the high heart, which helps us connect to our higher consciousness. And that helps us connect to spirit. What I do is I use it in a way that people drink a warm glass of cacao, which I've mixed up with warm water. And
it does not taste like chocolate milk. Just telling everybody who's done a cacao cleanse and a cacao ceremony, it looks really yummy.
Some people love it.
Okay.
Okay. So, but a lot of people don't. And it's a way for me to help people connect to their spirit guides. And particularly, I start with their spirit animal. it is really a great introduction to shamanism. And my guides were 100% correct. Because when I came home, I have to tell you, when I came back and I started telling people, oh, I'm going to do cacao ceremonies, that's what my guides say will make me, you know, fill in the niche or special or stand out. A lot of people poo-pooed it because in their mind it wasn't special enough. But it is, because it's a gateway to helping people meet their guides. I call that our team. We all have a team. And they get to meet their first team member.
So team, angels.
Guardian angels, right. Totems, whatever word you want to use. And students that work with me also start having guides in the form of the spirit of plants, because we work with cacao. We work with other plants. And so everybody, doesn't matter who you are, you have a team out there.
Okay, so animals can be your team member, plants can be your team member, so that they just lots of different shapes and form. So anyone that doesn't know who their spirit guides are, or their animals, or just to know that there's your team comes in different shapes and forms.
Yes, and for different purposes too.
I'm not into sports, but it kind of sounds like a football team. Like, you don't want to have a whole team of kickers or quarterbacks.
Correct.
You need to have a little bit of everybody.
I like that.
You like my sports reference? I'm so proud. Brian, are you proud of me, man? Like, like, bring it on.
Yeah, bring
it on. I'm a little bit bored right now.
A little shocked.
I love it. So Mary, what kind of vehicles or environments are you creating to, like, call in someone's spirit animal? And how does that show up for you? Like, what's the process of you going, okay, I'm doing a session with Mary. I really have no idea about the spirit world. And now all of a sudden you're telling me, okay, here's your, like, this is your spirit animal. Mm-hmm. How does that happen?
Well, actually, I do both things, where I tell people who their spirit animal is, but I think the most powerful and most empowering thing I can do is teach people how to go into the lower world, another dimension, and find that power animal themselves.
Okay, so wait a sec. How can you just see a person's spirit animal?
Well, that's a really good question. And my guides, I'm at wellness fairs a lot doing 20-minute healings. And one year I was there, and one day that my guide said, well, you know, we can tell you who's the spirit animal of your person you're working on. And with 20 minutes, of course, I can't teach them how to journey. It takes a few hours to set up the ceremony. And I know it's helpful for people to know who their animal is. So when I'm at these wellness fairs, I do a healing, and my guides help me tap into their energy. And then my guides start showing me visuals of what type of animal. Sometimes, by the way, you guys, I don't know what the animal's name is. I have to Google it, like big red ball or something with the long, long feet. And I'm just as shocked as everyone when the pictures come up on my Google search. And I'm like, yep, that's it. That's what I saw. This is it.
So could it ever be like ice, black and white, cold water, waddle, and you could see those different things, and then you're like, penguin? I mean, I just...
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And it usually is something like... It is like that. It's kind of fleeting. And then all of a sudden I start asking, oh, is it this? Is it that? And they'll say yes or no. And then, like I said, there's rare times that it's a picture and I want to have the name when I tell someone. But I have to tell a story, and I know this will cut into time, but for other things, but I have to tell this story. So I was at a wellness fair and a young girl came by, and I could tell her mother wasn't going to have the girl have a session to find her animal. So I just asked my guides, what's her animal? And they told me. So I leaned in and I said, by the way, your spirit animal is XYZ. And she looked at me and she said, I was having a hard time one day, and I was at grandma's. I was in the basement and I looked out the window and that animal came by. And I said, that's because that's your spirit animal. It was really cool.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was cool.
So, you can always tell stories like that. That's fantastic.
You
changed her life. You know you did that.
Yes. But it I didn't know anything like that would happen. The other thing I want to mention is, when I tell people who their spirit animal is, and I do this with adults too, is I tell them, start a relationship with them, kind of like what I did with Zenith. I didn't really know he was there. I called him something else. He then came to me in a dream. And we started this whole relationship. So with the spirit animal, I tell them who their spirit animal is, and I start mentioning how to develop a relationship so that they can share good times with them and lean on them when there's hard times. But to answer the question about then how do I teach people to find their own spirit animal, that's a whole ceremony. I talk about the foundations, how to journey. I talk about how to safely go into non-ordinary reality, how to come back, and then I take them there. And so they go there, they find their animal, and they come back and they tell me who it is. And that's really ultimately the most powerful way. And I think what my guides have given me the ability during these wellness fairs is something that will help people. But the most powerful way, if anything, is if you do it yourself. That's how I feel.
I think that's great.
Yeah.
So I did a cacao ceremony with Mary a couple of weeks ago. And the animal that I found, I had a dolphin with a caterpillar showed up. That was fun. But you can't make that up.
No.
So when that stuff starts coming in, so how do you help people who are having these dreams or having these thoughts, and they have a white dolphin show up with a caterpillar on it, and they, because you want to, like, your human brain wants to dismiss it and go, you know, you're crazy. Mm-hmm. How do we get to have those, and people on the radio can't see what I'm doing, but kind of having everything kind of come into alignment.
Mm-hmm.
How do you, because so many people want to question, so many people want to challenge it. It's, am I nuts? Am I crazy? Am I dreaming things? Am I this? How do you get them to go into and guide them to click into, oh, what can I do with that information? Because that's a huge shift.
Mm-hmm. Well, some of it is just going to be faith and trust. And but you're right. A lot of people want to say I was making it up. And I really come back to, if you were making it up, would you make up that animal? Or would you make up that story? During the ceremony, before people journey, I talk a lot about those doubts and those emotions, and that's really what keeps us here in this dimension. But when you're able to kind of approach things with a wonderment and a blank slate, is really that's when things open up. Shamanism is a mystery tradition, which means not everything has an answer, and that's actually what makes it so absolutely special, because there is not an answer necessarily to everything, and that's what makes it so great.
So you... And if I say this wrong, I'm sorry. But you just gave a presentation on, is it mystical shamanism?
Yes.
Tell us more about that.
Mystical shamanism. I've been studying shamanism a long time. And what I also been studying, the other aspect, is mysticism. And I've been diving a little bit deeper into that. And with mystics, they have and I'm talking about in the traditional classic sense, is they have a desire to be in union and one with the divine. With shamanism, we have a desire to interact with all different dimensions, the lower world, the upper world, the middle world. I can explain those later. And with mysticism, it really is that connection in the upper world, your guardian angel, the divine. Merging the two really allows us to be grounded in this earth, but also want to be connected to our higher power and the divine. I see it as a good connection. I see that shamanism looks at the three dimensions, where mysticism focuses on primarily that one dimension of the upper world. I do want to bring it back to a little when with Peru, is after my guide said, go back, start your healing practice, working with cacao, I continue going back to Peru and working with the shamans, working with the plant medicine, of course. And then the next message was, you have to start spirit flow. And one thing I do want to mention too, what was very clear, is I think what happens with people like myself who go to Peru and have such an awakening is a lot of people move there, because a lot of people look like me there too. But my guides were very specific. They didn't want me to move there. They wanted me to come back here and share the messages with the blessings of the shamans, the messages and the teachings that I've been learning in Peru. And that is really important. And that's how I launched my school, my shamanic school. All of it came as downloads when I was in Peru.
Okay. So when are we going to Peru?
We are going to Peru. My next trip is July 19th through the 29th. I do have still space available. I expect to totally sell out because it's a small, intimate group.
And it's led by you.
Yes.
With your personal shamans that you've been going to for 8 years.
Yes, yes, yes.
And you handpicked these shamans.
Yep.
And they happen to be women, which is very unique for this experience, correct?
Correct. It's very rare. And so, yes, I would encourage everybody to reach out. If you're interested in going to Peru, this is the year to go.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so your website. Now, we have another segment, and we're going to jump really into Spirit Flow and then the Peru. But zenithhigh.com is a fantastic way for people to find out some more information. Also, sign up for your newsletter because you're constantly reaching out to people and educating with different opportunities.
Okay. And then just emailing me or texting me directly to get the information. I screen out and handpick who's going to Peru, so I want you to reach out to me directly to get all that information so we can talk.
And your email address, please?
Mary@zenithhigh.com.
Beautiful. Okay. More to come.
We are here with Mary Newstrom, PhD, shamanic practitioner, and beautiful soul of the world. We are on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. We're really digging into your journey at this point, Mary. So we're in Peru. You're having all these experiences with your shamans. Mm-hmm. Tell us how you started to really develop this program that ultimately has you bringing some people over to Peru and really studying with you.
Mm-hmm. Actually, the whole idea of Spirit Flow came as as a download, like I mentioned, with my spirit guides on how do I bring back shamanic teachings. And so I came back and I started that. I launched the program and it started as a one-year program, and then after my first group got through that 1 year, they turned to me and they said, well, what's next? You can't end it now. And so it's developed into a four-year program. But the way I've structured it is I allow individuals to opt in. So I don't ask anybody to commit to 4 years, but as they go, they can say, I want to go deeper. I want to go deeper. I want to go deeper. That first year is all focused on helping people connect to their soul's purpose, how to manifest it, and really particularly who's on their team. So they're going to learn how to connect to their spirit guides, spirit animals, the spirit of cacao and plants, and then also to use them in a way that they can consult with them, and guide them on manifesting what do they want to do in this world? How do they fit in? So that's year one. And then year two is really looking like, okay, I know where I'm going, but what does it mean to be a spiritual leader? Sacred activism, how do you fit into this world in a spiritual way? Year three is master classes like soul retrievals, releasing spirits. So it's more for individuals that are curious or see them using this as a healing modality. And then the fourth year is working really closely with me, one-on-one apprenticeship, and helping just tie everything up. So a lot of practicing, a lot of consulting with me, and group work with the other advanced students.
So I have a question for you. last couple of years have been kind of crazy.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people listening today that might be curious about joining Spirit Flow. Who do you see as that person that I have that like that curiosity of like your ears are up and you're kind of dialed in and they know that maybe what they were doing pre-pandemic might not be serving them anymore. So if you were going to share with people that might be curious right now about reaching out, who is that person that you're trying to reach to, and then what do you want to say to them?
I'm trying to reach the individual that's curious to know where do they fit into this? What's their life purpose? Also, how to manifest it. We focus on that in the program too. It's one thing to be told, oh, I should be doing this. It's another to help guide someone doing it. And I encourage everybody that this has piqued your interest. If you're like, yep, I'd like to know who my team is. I'm interested in seeing how I'm connected to nature and the trees and plants and animals. And I want to know who's on my team. If those are the types of things that really pique your interest, you should reach out. And then finally, if you want a community, Spirit Flow has close to 40 active students, and then I have alumni. You have a community right there ready to listen, ready to support, and help you move in a spiritual way.
And don't you have a Sunday gathering? Is it once a month, once a quarter? How often do you have that?
Yeah. And so the structure of the program is we meet for a full day of training every other month, and then we're working on our own journeys and meditation when we aren't together. But once a month, I bring everyone together over Zoom, alumni, advanced students, and people just starting. So every level of Spirit Flow and the ones that have graduated, we come together over Zoom to share ideas, support, journey together. And that's for 90 minutes on a Sunday once a month, starting at 10 a.m.
Wow. Well, you know, probably the most important thing right now is community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's happened the past couple of years, the advances in technology have separated a lot of people in ways that truly have absolutely never happened before. So that the aspect of your work that is building community is exceptional. I also know that you do some wellness coaching and even some healing.
Mm-hmm.
So what does that look like in your work, and what can people expect? Like, if I have some pain or trauma or like things of that nature, would that be a good candidate to reach out to you?
Absolutely. With the healing, what I really specialize in is shamanic healing. I am also a Reiki master, so I bring that in as well. But people that should come to me, they may want just a general healing, cleaning of their auras, their dimensions of, you know, what's sticking to them that shouldn't be there. But a lot of times it's, you know, pulling away that negative energy that all of us, it's thrown at us all the time. So having good hygiene in going and getting a spiritual healing done periodically is a good idea. Also, I do what's called soul retrievals. We lose soul essences as we go through our life through trauma. You might be in a car accident, and a little piece of that essence might be left there. And after a while, if you've lost enough of your soul essences, it leads to illness. And that's why my guides actually, but I help facilitate it, we'll gather some of those up and bring those back for you. And then finally, I do what's called spirit release. Sometimes we have some energy attached to us that shouldn't be there, that needs help moving on, and I can do that as well. All of those, I've seen a tremendous increase in need for that, and but people should reach out if they feel like any of that is affecting them. With the wellness coaching, it's really people that want one-on-one spiritual coaching. And so what we'll do is come together, and that's over Zoom, listen to what their goals are, what their life purpose is, what they want to achieve, and then individually I help set goals. I might take them through a shamanic exercise to like cleanse them or, you know, gain clarity. ask questions, and then we follow up the next month to see what they've worked on, because they have the list that of their goals, and then I just kind of help them tie it together.
Oh my goodness, mm-hmm. That's fantastic. Oh my, okay. So how do you describe to someone that might have, what did you say, spiritual cleansing, or needing that spiritual cleansing? Mm-hmm. Say they had entities, or they were carrying stuff that wasn't theirs, mm-hmm. which is, I think, there's a lot of mm-hmm. a lot of people. How would you get them to recognize that I'm carrying this, and then I need to connect with you, and I need that mm-hmm. session? Because I think a lot of people carry stuff, and mm-hmm. What I keep seeing is just that leap. How do we get people to make that leap of curiosity to jump in and go, okay, this is not in the physical form. This is in so many other different forms and different frequencies.
Absolutely. I think if someone's thinking, after this event, I started feeling differently. Mm. After this trauma, I don't feel like I'm myself, or gosh, I never used to do this before, and now I feel like all I want to do is X, Y, Z, or drink, or exercise, or it could be anything. So if you're feeling like something happened, or after this point, or I kind of don't feel myself, or this energy next to me doesn't feel like it's mine, come on in. And my guides will tell me, yeah, that's yours or not yours, or they need this.
Absolutely. So you've been doing a lot of Mr. Brian.
No, I just wanted to grab a quick on top of what you were just saying there. You know, when people are listening to this, Mary, and they're trying to figure out, okay, that sounds really interesting. There's definitely points that that make a lot of sense for me to reach out to you. Some of the feedback and clarity and things that people who have worked with you, like, maybe say a few things about the most common results that people get in working with you and after working mm-hmm. with you.
The most common results are bringing back soul essences and feeling more complete, more whole, more alive, or releasing soul essences that spirits that are attached. So feeling like they're free, lighter. A lot of times people will say, oh, I feel so much lighter. I feel happy. I don't feel like that influence or that weight is on me. I feel more grounded, connected. Those are a lot of the things that people say.
What are some everyday tips and tricks you might have for being grounded, but then also being connected at the same time?
Absolutely. My students hear me say this all the time, to really be connected, to soar high spiritually, you have to be grounded. And I believe that because we're here on Earth. Taking walks in nature. Nature is our greatest healer. Of course, sometimes in the wintertime, that's hard. I then say, get houseplants maybe, or watch what you're eating. Are you eating cleanly? Drinking clean water? Though anything that's going to connect you through clean eating and being in nature, journeying, meditating, calming the mind, taking a nice hot bath with Epsom salts is very grounding. Those things will actually help you connect to spirit, because you're more grounded and in your body. And I think sometimes people don't realize that is what you need to be connected to your guides. You need to be grounded in your body.
But sometimes we don't want to be grounded in our body.
No, that's true. That's true.
Oh, and I'm just, for those of us that, right?
Yeah, that is very true.
Mary, is it your experience that people who take on the responsibility of their own self-care are far more likely to get connected with their team, get connected with, higher consciousness or guides or, the spirit realm?
I don't know. I don't want to go that far, because I think anybody can. I think what happens is people go deeper and deeper. Like, for example, a few years ago, I decided to totally give up drinking because that does create holes in our aura and opportunities for things to get attached. But I don't tell my students they can't drink. I think people have to go at their own pace. So I can work with anyone. There would be a few maybe exceptions to that. But I think as people keep working on raising their vibration, they get maybe connected to one of their spiritual team members. I would hope there's more motivation. And this is what I see with my students is, oh, I want more. I want more. And so I'm a very gentle leader in the fact that I explain what my philosophy is, what I'm doing. And I really believe in free will and that everybody has free will and they can do whatever they want. But I'm going to show what has been successful for me and what I think will help them be successful.
That's beautiful. So you've been speaking a lot, mm-hmm. and even like last weekend, you were at a fantastic event and you did a mini cacao ceremony with the attendees, mm-hmm. totally raising the vibration of the place. In April and May, where else are you going to be speaking around the Twin City, Minnesota, Midwest? Because I know you do kind of kick out a little bit.
I do. And I will be at the Body Lab Rosemount on Saturday. And then I will be at White Bear Lake. Enchanted Boutique is having one. And then also in Eau Claire. I do a lot of things in Wisconsin, Eau Claire. So if people check my website or they get on my newsletter list, they'll always know that where I'll be speaking. They're good informational sessions as well. And I do have April 3rd, I do have a four-hour ceremony, cacao ceremony, at my own healing studio that's going to take people through meeting their guides, a cleanse, and then I'm going to take a spirit boat. I'm going to take everyone energetically up to the upper world to meet an ancestor or maybe a friend that's departed. Very powerful. That's on the 3rd. And if you want to come for a full cacao ceremony, it's the 24th of April.
Beautiful. Okay, Mary, how do people find you? It is zenithhigh.com.
Yes.
Mary@zenithhigh.com for mm-hmm. email. Mm-hmm. And I take it social channels. You're on Facebook, Instagram.
Yep.
All the right?
Yeah.
Okay. It is.
Thank you so much for having me. It was great.
It just slipped by. We could do this very, very well. We'll do it again. We'll definitely bring Mary back. You guys, this is the Being Curious with Kelly and Brian show on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. And thank you, and be well, and stay curious.